Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, I think that's ready.
It's a Leicester Fiesta. Come and join the festival. It's a Leicester Fiesta, and we're having fun. All you want is right here. Everything is at...
Good evening, and welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. We have reached the bottom of the barrel. We are still winning games left, right and centre. So rather than do the professional intro that Jake usually does or Jack when he stands in, you got me, Ric Flair. I'm here tonight with only two people. We've got Jack and we've got a special guest, one of my favourite people on this earth, Jack's dad, John. I'll first come to Jack. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, Rick. Excellent intro. Thanks for doing that.
That's okay.
You're much better than me at that. So I think you did a brilliant job, and I think you should do it full time, actually. We don't need Jake anymore. We do. But yeah, well, I'm good. I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, we'll obviously get on to it. You went yesterday, which I'm fascinated to hear how you got on, because it looked a really good away day. The crowd sounded immense, and obviously there was a lot to celebrate at the end. But yeah, I'm all right. It's funny, like, obviously it's a bit of a smaller panel tonight. I mean, I have not heard from Jake in about a week since we did the pod Monday night. I don't know where he's gone.
I don't know if you've upset him. I wonder if we have upset him because we're annoying. But yeah, he doesn't do WhatsApp, he claims, but I went to Cologne with him. The man is not off his phone. So I think he's got the hump with us, Rick.
I'm going to start texting him, convert old fashioned texts, see if he can get out of that.
Or create a Tinder profile and, you know, match his demographics or whatever he's on and then, you know, find him that way.
I might do. I might have to redefine myself as a 6 foot blonde. Right. Anyway, let's get to the real quiz. Welcome, John Holmes. How you doing, pal?
Well, I'm hardly chiselled. I'm sort of the opposite of chiselled. What's that, blubbered or something? I don't know.
I think you're finely coiffed.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Finally coiffed. I'm having my hair cut again this week, so I've gone for a new sort of shorter cut, but there we are. Yeah
Do you pay more than £4 though, that Dean Smith used to pay? What's the going rate round your ends?
I get my hair cut in London for an obscene price.
He pays a fortune
by a Chelsea fan who he is a Chelsea fan. He's a proper Chelsea fan. And we chat about football each week, and I slag off Chelsea for having Nick Fofana. Ha ha, he's been injured ever since. And he tells me what a good player Chilwell is. Which, of course, we're not completely in agreement on that one, but there you are.
No, exactly. Well, I'm actually really pleased about this lineup tonight. I don't know, there's something about you pair that makes me feel safe.
I don't feel very safe, Rick. I'm just having my dad on the podcast, but it went that well last time. So,
well, he did. What's that film with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost? You know, when they're in the boozer and the world's about to end.
Shaun of the Dead.
That's it. Yeah, I feel like that's us three tonight, just in amongst it, talking about Harry Winks.
Number 40.
It's a shame he didn't get number 40, but.
Apparently at Spurs, he wanted number 40, but really? Daniel Levy thought that was a bit expensive and wouldn't give it him. Yeah,
to go on, I mean, what a goal yesterday. I mean, I'm so pleased for him because he seems like such a nice bloke, but it's just a peach of a goal, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And it you could just tell all the players. I mean, it's a big moment in the game because we were struggling a little bit. QPR had sort of, you know, were penned right in, and we couldn't break them down, and it needed something like that. But I mean, you know as well as anyone how much I'm a fan of Winks, but it was just brilliant, and it was so well deserved. Brilliant celebration, some lovely little moments in there, including Dewsbury Hall pulling him out of there so he didn't get booked, which was very good. Yeah. Fatuu, you know, stopping a bloke from falling on his head, which was also very good. But it was just brilliant. It was a brilliant away end. I mean, it was a bit quiet at times, but I don't know about sort of the whole, you have the whole end at QPR. So it was really good. Really good day out, and just really enjoyable. You know, each week the team keeps, not surprising us because I thought we'd win yesterday, but they just keep giving us little moments, which is just so good considering where we were sort of 6-9 months ago. So,
it's frightening, isn't it?
Just unbelievable. I mean,
we obviously were on about Winks in the week, weren't we? Saying that I can't wait for him to score his first goal, and he goes and does it back on home soil in London. To be honest, his interview after the Sunderland game was one of the best interviews I've heard in a long while from a footballer. I've obviously keep going on and on about how I have my sort of reservations about us going straight in for Winks from coming down. I was a bit worried with his injury record, but the bloke is just class. You know, there's a lot of cliches in football. He's none of them. He talks well, but he just gets on with it. And I just love how quick he is. He just gets around the pitch, doesn't he? I mean, look how quick he was when he scored the goal. He're in the crowd within seconds. I know we joke about, like, he always thinks he's like running back to turn something off or, you know, check the ovens not on. But, you know, it's a far cry from the lethargy that we saw last season. He's up there with. He started so well. Thoughts, John, on Harry?
I was in favour of us getting him in the first place. I thought he was quite a nice player at Spurs, and he's sort of, according to the Spurs fans I know, he suffered under Mourinho and lost his confidence, had to go abroad. I don't know how he did abroad. But he's come here and he's done really well. I mean, he's been told you are the main man, and he certainly has lived up to that. His energy, his neatness as a player, and as Jack says, he's obviously a nice lad, isn't he? And they like him, and he's a good influence. From last year when we didn't have a captain and we've lacked a captain. We seem to have one or two captains now as sort of reflected in the fact that Maresca is he's changing the captain. You know, Vardy's an obvious one. Ricardo, not such an obvious one. Cody was apparently, you know, he's signed as a captain. Dewsbury Hall, you can see as a captain. So we've got one or two players now who are captains and take responsibility, and that's very good. And Winks is certainly part of that. The other thing I've noticed is Maresca, he's an intelligent man. You know what he's, I think what he was doing, Jack and I were in the boardroom when this presentation was made to Andy King a few weeks ago, and Maresca was there and he stood right at the back. He didn't try to hog the limelight or get involved. He just watched. And as we went out, Jack, I don't know if you noticed, he sort of slipped past us at that moment, hadn't made any great point or anything else. And I think he was watching and he was thinking, these people at that point, the club and the fans were as one. And I think he's trying to, I've noticed recently, he's tried to stir the crowd up a bit. He's tried to get the players to run over. He realises this is a new team and we haven't got, apart from Vardy, who's the obvious one, and Old Brighton, whom the fans love, they're both in the veteran stage. All the rest of these players are relatively young or new. Justin is actually quite popular, as is Ricardo, but they've not been playing for as long and so on. So he's trying to get the team and the crowd as one, because he realizes that this is a good moment, because we're winning everything at the moment, which is fine, but the crowd didn't take to the style too quickly. And I confess, a lot of the time watching us during first half of this season hasn't been that exciting. And when the other, you know, the opposition fans, your support is fucking shite, I'm inclined to say, well, yeah, they're not actually, but there's not a lot to cheer about Vestergaard and Fast playing the ball back and forth to each other and so on. So he knows that the crowd have taken some time to adapt to the start, but now he's realised that if we're going to get through to the end of the season and play this, we need to get the crowd on the side. The crowd need to realise, the crowd need to appreciate the football we're playing and so on.
Yeah, there was a really nice moment on Tuesday where he sort of, I mean, I don't sit with you anymore, Dad, much to your displeasure, but he came over to sort of SK1 and sort of G'd the crowd up. And he has done that, I think, really well, because, and I mean, we don't need to talk about you being a member of the brigade that shout forward a lot. I was thinking about this earlier. I think there's something, he has sort of a combination of things of really good managers we've had at this club, because he's got very clean white trainers, so there's an element of Pearson about him. Looks great in a tracksuit, which is a bit O'Neill, and he's got Italian charm, which is a bit like Ranieri. And he's obviously very different to that. And you know, if he achieves what those guys have done, then that'd be tremendous. But I think, yeah, he also doesn't make it about him, which I quite like Rodgers for a lot of the time, but Rodgers did have this sort of thing where he, you know, if we did anything well, it was always because of him. And if we did something wrong, it was because the players didn't listen to him. But he came out on Tuesday night and the I think it was the Sky interview, his first answer was, it was like, the players are very good. And he heaped pressure on them. The celebrations after the game yesterday, he didn't do a little clap, because that's not what he does, but he sort of came over to the fans for a bit and then he let the players sort of go and he stepped away, which I thought was quite a nice touch. And he's, you know, he's obviously very central to everything we're doing, but he's not making it about him in any way, shape or form, which I think is really nice. And the other bit, to go back to the very clean white trainers, but, you know, considering it's almost November now, I've no idea how he's keeping them so clean. So he's obviously doing a great job.
New
there
pair again. Every week, yeah.
Well, probably, but the man can look after himself. And that's before we even get into his tailoring, which is, I know Jordan's a big fan of, which is off the scale. But yeah, I'm a big fan. I love him, Rick, and I know you do too.
Yeah, I do. And I put a tweet out this week, and I think a lot of people, nobody sort of was on the page that I've been where. This week, for some reason, I've bonded more, not bonded because I don't know the bloke, but like, I've really sort of... I'm really now fully invested in Maresca now. Like, I'll worship him. And not that I perhaps didn't in the weeks before this, because it's been quite clear how much of a class act he is and how well we've done. But, you know, early days, it's difficult here with a new manager, especially after what we've been through with Rodgers. I had a lot of time for Rodgers, and I did, you know, I was really impressed with him for a long, long time, but it did go sour. And sadly, both parties stayed together far too long. And it takes a while to then get back in, doesn't it? And really sort of like get behind a manager and love him. But yeah, right. I don't know what's happened this week. Probably because it's been a bit backs against the wall with some of the performances. You know, Swansea, they caused us a few problems. But not major problems, but a few, and we just found a way to win and comfortably did it. Sunderland, I don't think we were in control of the game as much as we're accustomed to, but again, had far the better chances, and on another day could have got 4 or 5. Yesterday was a real strange one, really, because it felt like we were a bit sloppy. So a lot of people claiming we were complacent, which I'm not so sure it's complacency. I just think that's the nature of, you know, game after game, you go into have your performance dip. But, you know, we're finding ways to win. And he is at the corner, you know, he's at the middle of it, orchestrating it. There's so many of them have come out and said, you know, he just gives them the instructions. He makes everything so clear. And I do wonder how many managers don't do that. You know, they make it over complicated, and the bloke's obviously got his methods and ideas that aren't simple, but he seems to be able to get the players to understand it. And we're still only what, 4 months in since he's been here, maybe not even that long. It's unbelievable, really.
He does, even in his interviews though, he does say stuff in an incredible, I mean, he's quite blunt in the way he talks about stuff. He doesn't mince his words, but I think that probably helps. He doesn't over communicate on things. Funny, I listened to Gareth Ainsworth interview after the game, and he was all over the place. I mean, he obviously lost his job, but Maresca's just very, he says the same thing. It's all about the ball, says the ball constantly, but he does just like drum home that message. And yeah, Dad, I think you're right. Like at the start, you kind of went, I'm not sure you can play like this at this level, but clearly we can, because you know, you don't just win 13 games out of 14 games by being fortunate. It's not luck anymore. I don't think it ever was, but it's clearly a style that can work at this level.
Well, at this level, yeah. The worry is, I think, if you look at the Premier League table and you recall this time last year, Burnley were getting masses of praise for playing the way we are, the Guardiola way. And now look at them. The two or three sides that came up are at the bottom, and you know they're not looking like there's no hint that they're going to get clear of it. The only side that are sort of, you think, Everton won today. That was a good result for them, and actually looked not bad. I mean, Forest are on the edge. Forest have spent a fortune. I think you know, I can see Cooper, who I think is a very good manager, not lasting the course this season because the owner is very mercurial. They spent a fortune, and I think he, you know, these owners get these ridiculous things. I mean, Joey Barton, was it this week, got the sack because the amount they spent, they should have been in the top eight. You know, they have these weird views. I mean, some of the managerial decisions this season, how on earth did John Eustace get the sack at Birmingham? I mean, yeah. For Rooney. I mean, that is absolutely stupid, isn't it? And you look where Bournemouth are also right down the bottom and a pretty poor side. I mean, what on earth were they doing sacking Gary O'Neill and bringing this guy. And Wolves are doing actually pretty well. Wolves, you know, held on yesterday quite well, I thought. You see, some of the football we play is very Guardiola-like, but Maresca, to me, has got a more practical streak. The way he switched the fullbacks in midweek to put Justin on Clark, it worked, kept him quiet. The way once or twice that Hermansen just booted the ball clear. I thought Sunderland the best side we played, actually. I thought it was an interesting game. I thought they were a good side for a young side. I thought they kept going. They lacked a good striker. And how many times have we said this season that if the opposition had got a really good striker, they'd have done us? Coventry, we first game of the season, we could have been done 3-0. You know, there aren't that many good strikers at this level. Iheanacho and Vardy, now at their stages, they are pretty good strikers at this level. But if we're thinking ahead, is the one thing we would really like in the, you know, you wanted to talk about the window a bit. We could do with a really good striker, couldn't we? Whether this cannon is any good, we'll have to see. I questioned with you yesterday whether George Hurst, who's holding a place with Ipswich, who are chasing us quite hard and apparently playing good football, he scored yesterday, whether we might regret letting him go. But maybe he's not that standard either. But there aren't many class strikers in this division, are there? That Jack Clark stands out. He's the top scorer, isn't he?
He's a winger, really, well, isn't he?
And he's a winger, yeah.
Yeah. Right, we'll talk about the transfer window. We will do a quick break, and then we will come to talk about some of the players from yesterday.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Right. So, Rick, you wanted to talk about this because I wanted to talk about Vestergaard, but you wanted to talk about Cody. Because it's interesting, I think it's the first time they both played together yesterday, as far as I can remember. I can't remember them playing together before. I think they played with...
Hang on, who did Cody play with against Preston?
He played with Fest, didn't he?
Yeah, because Vestergaard was banned.
Yeah. So I thought Cody looked a little bit rusty. He didn't do anything wrong. I thought his passing was a little bit predictable, but he was fine. I don't think he was at fault for the goal. I've watched the goal twice now. I don't know who quite was at fault for it. I think it was closing down more than anything. It's a bit unlucky, actually, because
Hermansen was unlucky with it, because it just I think he would have got it, wouldn't he? And he almost nearly did, but
him and Hamza sort of got in the other way. Yeah, I thought, you know, kudos to you for the title of the pod last week as well. Yannick on the streets of Swansea. We should have saved it for this week, but
we should have done. I know you did say that.
but I think we got some good feedback on that. But I thought again, he was very good. And yes, he's slow, but his passing at this level is crucial to the way we play.
Did he get booked yesterday?
No, he didn't get booked.
No, yesterday. He didn't.
Because he's going to get banned for quite a bit. He's
on seven now, isn't he?
Yeah, he regularly, I mean, every game, they seem to be, there's one occasion where there's a ball down the middle.
Yeah, he gets done for pace.
But
I was going to, again, I want to talk about bookings, because I think we've been very clever in the way we're picking up bookings in a way we've not done before. But I thought he was very good again. And yes, he gets turned on the he's slow on the turn, but I thought, you know, didn't put a foot wrong. You know, that Lyndon Dykes or whatever. I mean, he's he's big. I mean, that's about all he is. But he managed him brilliantly. I thought he was good against Sunderland as well. They were a good side. Arguably could have had a penalty against Sunderland because Luke O'Neill decided to sort of wrestle him by the throat. I've got no idea how he got booked there.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Well, it was interesting, wasn't it, watching the Manchester Derby this afternoon. They've given a penalty against, was it?
Hoyland.
Hoyland, yeah.
Yeah, on Diaz.
Then later in the game, there was a clear pushdown on Haaland and they didn't give a penalty there, which looked to me just as strongly. And the other point I thought a wee bit on, on Tuesday night, there was a lot of people said, Sunderland deserved a penalty for that tackle that Fess did, which... Yeah. Given VAR, they probably would have given a penalty. But there was also one occasion when Fatawu got into the penalty area.
That was a penalty.
Yeah, it was.
They were still pulling him when he's in the penalty area.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it doesn't matter whether it starts outside. If it's still going on, if it's an act of pulling in the penalty area, why isn't that a penalty? I didn't understand that.
Yeah. I agree. I didn't think the referee was very good on Tuesday night. But back to Yannick. I thought he was very good again. And he's one of the first names on the team sheet for me now.
He clearly is. And he set up one of the one that Mavadidi hit the post with. That was set up by him, wasn't it? With a good interception way up the pitch.
Yeah. I can't knock it now. Early in the season, I thought Cody would come in. But I thought Cody was okay yesterday. But I don't think he gets in ahead of Fez. And I don't think he gets in ahead of Vestergaard currently.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about, Cody, and it sort of stems with Vestergaard. It's funny, you make your mind up about a player and it's very difficult to overcome that without, like, a lot change. But now I've got, the thought of Vestergaard not playing, I know Jordan's still in that point where he'd be more than happy to bin him off, but I just don't see how he can't play. Like he's got to play, and especially when you're on the ball as you have the ball as much as we do. I mean, his passing stats yesterday, or the amount he had the ball, were ridiculous. Something like the exact same amount that QPR passed in total, like 140 or something. But if you're going to have the ball that much, you need to be able to make incisive passes. And I think he's the only centre half that can consistently do it. Fast can, but he's better at actually taking the ball up the pitch and then it open up. Cody...
Fast hits longer balls.
He does, yeah. Cody, from the bit... Obviously, I've seen a fair bit of him over the years. He's always looked okay on the ball, but I wouldn't say he's exceptional that you would come to think of a centre-half that Maresca wanted. But it's all about the leadership with Cody and what else he'll bring in organisation. And then Suter's probably an all-rounder, isn't he? But I think with Cody, something's going to have to change for him to get a run of games. He's either going to have to just be exceptional when he does play, which is difficult because he's not playing that often. So there is a real chance that we've spent a fair amount of money on a player who was going to be our captain, who was going to be the leader, he was going to organise us, and it just not really happened for him. Now, it's early days, and that could be...
Well, it could come as a result of Vestergaard getting suspended.
Well, yeah, and he'd be next up for a two-game ban if he gets the 10 bookings. But, it's going to take a run of games, I think, because Vestergaard's so good when he's playing, and we need that the Sunderland game was probably a bit different in terms of we're camped in their half on the ball, but the Stoke game and the bits of yesterday that Vestergaard was on the ball, he was the one trying to make things happen from deep. And I think without that, and with Doyle not being in there, I don't think Justin's very good on the ball. I thought yesterday he was very sloppy on the ball.
Yeah,
he's very good. He's athletic and, he's good. He's a good man marker, within reason, other than when it goes over his head. But, one-on-one, he's a pretty good defender. But it's on the ball that I've got concerns about. And that's why, you go through the defence. Vestergaard's the most important
right now. Particularly without Doyle as well, I think. Because we've actually gone on a better run of form without Doyle, and and we've conceded less goals. Justin is undoubtedly a better defender, better athlete.
Fewer
than Doyle.
Goals, Jack.
Or whatever, Dad. Whatever. Honestly. I've completely lost my train of thought now. Thanks for that. Doyle is good on the ball, very good on the ball, and is and is one of you know, like Vestergaard. I mean, the pass he played against Rotherham. I mean, almost if you could clone Justin and Doyle, you've got the perfect player for Maresca's system. But yeah, I'm with you. The one bit that I think is often lost with a lot of the clickbait journalism that you see on Twitter and, you know, other podcasts who won't be named, is I think Cody is a very good influence in the dressing room. Yeah. And we didn't have a player like that last year. I mean, we had Johnny Evans, who just decided when he wanted to play, when he could be bothered to come down from Manchester. Cody's been there every game. And, you know, he's clearly been a really good influence. And I think that goes a long way, because, you know, the other thing I saw yesterday is the players, like, are just really, and it's easy when you're winning, I know, but there's genuine camaraderie in sort of how they operate, which is really good to see. And I think Cody's a big part of that. I think Winks is a big part of that as well. So I think it's going to be a really interesting one in terms of how it plays out, because, you know, if we go up, and he's not played all season, what does he do? Does he want to stick around? Is he more likely to play in the Premier League because he's a bit more nimble than Vestergaard? I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's a tricky one, but we'll see, won't we?
We will. Right. The other player I wanted to talk about, if Winks is my favourite player at the moment, this guy is my second favourite player, because he is utter chaos. I can't even do his full name, Fatuo. I thought he was sensational yesterday. He was joy personified at the end. He was throwing himself on the ground to get play. I mean, he got rugby tackled by their bloke. I didn't quite appreciate it at the time. It was an outrageous tackle on him. But, you know, his reaction is actually very... I can't really say I love that, but I actually do, because it's the sort of thing we didn't do last year. I mean, he gets the player sent off, and he's clever in the way he does it. He's not just going inside on his left foot now. He went outside on his right quite a few times. Oh, he had a really good game. He's still only 19, and we've got an option on him for, I think, 17 million. But he just looks like he's getting better every week. And, yeah, I mean, what else can I say apart from I absolutely love him, and I think the boy's chaos. And I know you do, Rick, as well.
Yeah, I've yearned for right wingers, haven't I, for a long while. We've got a few now, but he's becoming the one that's the most dangerous, I think. And that's probably a little bit unfair on Makatiru, has got the knack of scoring. And I see him more as an eight anyway, long-term Makatiru.
I think Makatiru could be a centre forward.
Yeah, funny you should say that, John. Jack mentioned that a few weeks ago, that you'd said that. And I can see it. I mean, it's still early days, isn't it? But I get that with the, you know, he's quick. And, you know, he's moving, and just his positional sense is, you can't teach that and up front. But yeah, Fatuo, you know, he's only got one goal and one assist so far, but it's more than that. It's his personality at his age, and he's strong. He tracks back. As you say, there's some housery yesterday from him in that, you know, okay, pushing and shoving. If the ref had been a bit trigger happy, he could have got sent off as well yesterday for that, which would have been ridiculous, and we would have been going wild. But he didn't. And then you think, well, you know, it's the way that they're going about it. You know, a lot of teams do that, and they get away with it within reason. And collectively, that makes, you know, the experience of playing us a lot harder. Under Rodgers, I think it was so easy to play against us at times. You know, from a sort of non-football playing side of things, you know, under Rodgers, we were very good sometimes. And when we were on it, we would batter teams. But if it came down to like the sort of mentality and stuff, you'd be rubbing your hands together playing against us under Rodgers towards the end.
Yeah, we lacked.
Yeah.
I was at one point I thought we should have gone in for someone like Ward-Prowse, who strikes me as a, you know, he's a pusher and a shover of the team and leads. And Mark Noble, who used to played for West Ham and so on, a Neil Lennon type figure, if you like. We definitely lack that. Tielemans always looked like, you know, he'd been invited to a tea party and he'd made a mistake.
Yeah, he sandwiches.
Yeah, he dropped the sandwiches, you know. Oh, dear.
We'd eaten them all, yeah.
I'm afraid he seems to have made a complete horlicks of his career at this stage. But considering the players we've lost, we have done pretty well. What worries me is, have we got the class if we go up? And I know that seems very premature, but you've always got to think about that. And as I say, looking at the bottom of the Premier League at the moment, you're thinking, crikey, were they that bad? Was it that bad a division? Having said that, the only side that I've seen so far, well, I thought Coventry, ironically, on the opening day were not bad, but they then sold their best player. Thought Sunderland were pretty good. But the others have been pretty poor, really, haven't they?
But that, I mean, you question the quality going up, and who knows, but I think Fatawu is one that you'd hope, you know, he's got that potential to improve. And I think it's 17 million euros, which is what, 14, 15 mil? Or it might be a little bit less, I can't remember. But it's an option to buy or an obligation if we get promoted. But I think that's probably, you'd say, a good bit of business if he carries on the way he is, gets to the end of the season. And
the last time we came up, we signed the right winger that season.
400,000.
Yeah.
if he's half as good as him, yeah.
Not even half, Jack. If he's as good as him, it'd be a very, very useful signing. And he does have potential, and he's got personality, and he is actually the type that could become a crowd pleaser, isn't he? You know, he could become a crowd hero.
He might be better in the Prem as well, because we're playing against such deep blocks. I think he'll get a bit more space. I mean,
yes,
yesterday on the break, he's so quick. I just think he's brilliant. I mean, he's bonkers as well, isn't he? Clearly. I mean, I just love the fact that we've, you know, plucked this guy out of Lisbon, which is a phenomenal city, and he's rocked up in Leicester, getting his car cleaned at some terrible place and looking like he's having the time of his life. Like, that, he's phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal. But the bit I loved most about yesterday, and I think in the last couple of games, you know, you don't win 13 out of 14 games by just being good at football. You need to be smart. You need to be cute in certain situations. There's various instances in the last couple of games that I think have really demonstrated sort of that, for want of a better phrase, shithousery. You know, Fatawu goes down when he gets pushed. Ricardo again got booked late on. I think Chair went through, dragged him down. Did the same against Sunderland. Patrick Roberts was going absolutely wild because he was through, and he did it on the halfway line. But the amount of times we're doing that, you know, and yes, we're getting booked, but I think we've got a big enough squad to sort of cope with it. It's sort of like when we won the league under Ranieri, we did a lot of tactical fouling and players sort of took bookings at certain times, but it's just really smart. And we didn't do that anywhere near enough when we were in the last year in the Premier League, because it really, you know, we've won a lot of games by one goal, which we could never do under Rodgers, but we're just able to take the sting out of the game a little bit and just sort of wind the clock forward.
You do feel there's a sort of composure about it late in the game, even when we're one up. It does seem to me that comes from that. The players seem quite calm. There's very little panic. We are pretty street smart now. I think that's fair to say.
I love it.
I mean, how do you teach your team? Like, what, the shithousery, though. Like, how do you teach your team to do that quickly? Because under Rodgers, we never did any of that. The amount of times that, like, you'd say, why is he not taking him out there or got involved?
Well, it's curious, isn't it? It always used to be that the discipline of the team, if the team had, and I mean, the fact is, we haven't had any red cards.
No.
We have plenty of yellows, but we haven't had any red. And I think that would suggest Liverpool were past masters at this as well, at their best. You know, Liverpool made sure.
Under Klopp, they were outrageous. Correct. This.
You couldn't get past them. They sort of protested in turn, as opposed to one person getting booked. They did a lot of that, which made. But we're, you know, near the top of the charts in the championship for yellow cards, not for red cards. And I think what you have to say is it's discipline, but it's practical. As I say, Maresca strikes me as a man who's pragmatic. He was seen applauding Hermansen when he just booted the ball into touch miles up the other night. Now, you know, I noticed yesterday, I heard somebody say that Burnley are conceding no end of goals through trying to play out from the back. If you looked at us early on in the season, we were conceding goals from trying to play out at the back and getting away with one or two that where they didn't score. But now it's a bit more practical. On occasions, I think Maresca said to them, you don't always have to. If you're under pressure, you can boot it. That strikes me as being more pragmatic.
It does indeed. Right, one more commercial break and then we'll do Dear Rick.
Ooh, okay.
Right, so are you ready for this, Rick? Because I've warned you on this one. Right, okay. Well, I'll play the intro and then I'll play it because I think this is your specialist topic.
Dear Rick, I wrote you, but you still ain't.
Of course, I've just played the wrong one because Jake hasn't labelled them correctly and I don't actually know where the intro music is. So I did look at that and think...
It finished up saying Dear Rick.
Well, yeah, but it's not the right one. I don't know where
that'll do.
That do? We really need to start labelling these things.
Yeah, anyway, I think Jake sabotaged it all, hasn't he?
Have we talked about where Jake is? Because he did send a little message in for us.
Do you want to play it?
This weekend, no surprise to you, I was doing High Rocks this weekend. You've already alluded to the fact I'm sat here in a vest. Yeah, thank you, Jack.
It's like he's never been away. Right, I will play this.
Got a question for Ric Flair. I was lucky enough to be at the Stoke game and Mavididi came on and heard his new fan song for the first time, which I thought was class. Got me thinking though, what's your favourite player song that we've come up with over the years? And so one of my personal favourite ones, the Ben Marshall one or the Don't Tell Knock Off.
So I was in a pub before the game, the Syndicum Social, and I heard a song like vaguely in the background, and I was like, just kept going, and I thought I'd recognise that. I don't know what it was. Ben Marshall, which is a cracker, I think. That is one of my favourite.
It is good.
Ones. What was that tune? It is good. Ben Marshall one though. I don't know. It works.
Yeah.
But it's only ever worked for him. So yeah. But anyway. Great question. Thank you for that.
It is a good question. I've been trying to wrap my brains. I've still not settled massively, but one that I always had a lot of time for, very simple, is, can you remember Redneck, Cotton Eye Joe, the song?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, for now I've been for Tiato, I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Tiato?
But that never got sung except like you booting round Barwell.
No, it definitely wasn't me. And I think that's what's made it difficult to come up with one because I'll come up with a lot of shit and they obviously never take off.
You came up with a chant the other day that I came up with 2 years ago, which is the only chant I've ever come up with.
No, yeah, but that wasn't me coming up with it. I just remember someone coming up with it. So I
spent ages on that. Thanks.
Well done, mate. Well done. But my favourite Leicester song, not a player song, but I love the one that we did, the Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. Leicester won the Premier League, travel the world and the seven seas. Now we're on the road to Cardiff. I remember getting that going in the Stag after the first leg of Seville.
Was that where the Champions League was?
Yeah, that one.
We sang that in Eindhoven. Different lyrics.
They changed the words for that, didn't they? Yeah.
Changed the words. What's your favourite song, Dad? What were you singing back on the terraces in the 70s?
probably Lenny Glover song.
What about Bob Hazel?
But no, we didn't have a song for Bob Hazel.
My dad reckons we did about throwing petrol bombs.
Well, they were very complicated songs in those days. They were more like exaggerated charts, you know, Frankie Wurtho and Lenny Glover.
Nothing's changed, because I don't think I've never heard a song go like big unless it's about three lyrics. Three words.
We're not good for that.
Even that, like the Harry Wink song, which I think's good. When he came up at the end, it was they sang Harry Winks to Daddy Cool, because that's the only one that people can sort of.
The Ojo song was quite good, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was good. Sang that at the cricket when we went a few weeks ago, which was utterly bizarre, didn't they?
Did they? I
must not have heard that one, but they did. They did. Yeah. So there we go. Good, Rick. Well done. Like that. It's Who Are You Now, just for the purpose of, I'm going to play the intro music and then I'll explain a little bit more.
Go for it.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right, so this one, to be very clear, doesn't count because, Rick, you're doing it, because I don't think we can legitimately play a game of Who Are You with only two of us, two of the regulars here. So
it's an exhibition, this is.
Yeah, this is a friendly. So for Steve's spreadsheet, Steve, please don't count this one.
Have a night off, pal.
Have a night off. Yeah. And you're going to do it, Rick. So I'm going to play against my dad, which I reckon I'll win this because he can't remember anyone. So
I don't know. I reckon John Holmes is a dark horse for this.
Are you still with us, Dad? Or are you
frozen? I'm still here. Yes. Right,
okay. Can I see after you're ready?
You look like you've fallen asleep. Are we boring you? I hope not.
Not any more than normal, Jack. No.
Oh, thanks for that, Dad. Thank you.
I'm appalled at your English, but there you are.
Well, you've sworn more than me, actually. Me and Rick have been on
Your use of English, you know, you've used amount when it should have been number, and less when it should have been fewer.
Great.
And, I don't know.
People are getting a window into my life, so that's
correct.
Great.
There we go.
Rick, all yours.
Right, you ready? Are you ready then, boys? I don't want any bickering, okay? I want this clean. Okay, family, I don't want any fallings out. You got Christmas on the horizon, all right? Okay, first question, what am I going on about? I forgot what I was doing then.
There's only one question.
First clue.
Here. Yeah.
He was born on the 26th of August, 1971, in Outrigium.
Outrigium.
You mean Altrincham?
Yeah, sorry, I said it wrong.
Steve, is it Steve Walsh? Altrincham.
It's not Steve Walsh.
Is that John Curtis?
No. Do you want another? Do you want the next clue?
So he's 52.
He's 52, yeah.
Yeah, next one, please.
Okay. Right, what should we go with next? He started his career at Swindon Town.
Nicky Summerby.
Oh, he's done it! He's done it!
Shambolic. For fuck's sake. I've still not won one.
Yes.
One all season.
Yes, John. Yes.
Unbelievable.
That's top. That?
Because
he played for you for free, didn't he?
Because I know his dad. He played for me for free, so he's one of my favourite ever players. And I think you probably know, if you know, his grandfather and his father both started, and he all started their careers at Swindon.
Really? Well, that's why I chose him, was because I wanted to ask you whether he really did play for us for free.
Yeah, he did. He and Billy McKinley, yeah.
McKinley, no, what, genuinely, genuinely for free?
Mm. They were trying to get another club,
I find it bizarre, though, that they didn't get another club. Like, surely that just wouldn't happen now, would it?
Well, it was after the window, wasn't it, I suppose. But I suppose they could have been, but they were getting, I think they were getting bonuses and things like that. You know, it was just a basic that they weren't getting. So they weren't paid completely for nothing. It was just that they weren't under contract and they weren't getting a basic wage. So they would have got appearance and bonuses. And we won virtually every game during that period, as you know. Billy McKinley, I always thought he'd go on to be a good coach, actually.
He is a coach.
Yeah.
Watch Summerby. Isn't he a pundit? He's on BN Sports. You spoilt all the rest of me clues anyway, John.
Oh, sorry about that.
I'm going to read them out anyway. It's like, another good one I thought was he finished his career at Tamworth.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
I should have gone with that. I should have gone with that as the second clue.
I still wouldn't have got it. So,
no, and then I thought the only other
the
one was
the Altrincham bit also gave it away a bit, because Altrincham or Altrincham, as whatever you call it, Altrincham is actually quite a posh part of Manchester.
Well, I knew you'd be a dark horse at this, John. I thought your son was very, very scathing there, dismissing of you. Yeah. I think you're the, I reckon.
My memory's gone and all sorts, but there you
go. No, I think you might be the key to giving me a proper game at this. I think we'll get you back on.
Billy McKinley's assistant.
Come on, then, chaps. We've got to get on. I want to.
You need to see.
It's time I go to bed early.
These go on for ages, Dad, by the way.
I know. Billy McKinley's now fed up. The dogs.
He's now at West Ham. So, Billy McKinley is. Yeah, but anyway, well, given he's got to go to bed shortly because it is, you know, close to bedtime. You've wanted to do this for ages, Rick. So you can ask him anything you like. So before he goes to bed,
I'm only going to ask a couple, because I mean I'm wondering when John might invite me on his podcast and I'll ask him a bit more. But
yes, can I give my podcast?
Go on.
Because it's actually got less of an audience than ours, hasn't it, Dad? You get less downloads than we do. So. Despite it being backed by a major podcast network, but there you go.
Yeah, my podcast is called Football Ruined My Life, which is actually a derivation from a book that Colin Schindler, who is a friend of mine, big Manchester City fan, he wrote a book called Manchester United Ruined My Life, and later wrote a book called Manchester City Ruined My Life. Colin's a professor of film at Cambridge University. He wrote the script of Buster and he produced Lovejoy on television for those with a long memory. And somebody called Patrick Barkley, who's a sort of retired Lothario and a journo who's worked for almost everyone. But there we are. And we have a lot of fun talking about football prior to the Premier League. This week, we interviewed Gordon Milne at length who was very, very interesting about not only about his time at Leicester, but his time playing under Bill Shankly and the way Bill Shankly motivated Liverpool, and how he went to Liverpool at the time that the Beatles started, and the influence that the Beatles had on football.
Well, first question straight in then, John. Have Leicester City ruined your life?
No, they've made my life, haven't they? I've had a wonderful time. I can die happy now, having seen Leicester win the Cup and the league. I never dreamt we would win the league, I have to say. That was a complete surprise to me. The fact that I went three times in the 1960s and saw us lose in the final in 1963, it did break my heart, because I thought we were a wonderful side that year and we really, really deserved to win something. Davy Gibson was playing out of his skin. Mike Stringfellow, Ken Keyworth, converted wing half, scored goals. We had Frank McClintock, we had Graham Cross, we had Gordon Banks playing out of his skin. It was a great side. We just dropped away in the league. We led the league at Easter, dropped away because we had injuries. And then in the final, we didn't play. And that's the last time I cried at a football match, I think, probably.
You had a good go at the FA Cup final.
Well, it was a very emotional moment for me, as you know, Jack. Yeah, it resulted in me having a heart attack.
Yeah, I was going to say, you did a good go not to last too long a couple of days later, didn't you?
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, that's what the club does to us. So, I mean, on that, what? Obviously, you've had a very, very illustrious career as an agent. What was it like being an agent dealing with the club you supported? I'm presuming you did a lot of deals with the club, or have you not? What?
Yeah, is it like? Over the years, yeah, clearly.
Most of our best players.
Yeah, I did. That's that. I sold, obviously, Lineker and Shilton. And
you sold Shilton to Forest as well, which I...
No, I didn't sell him to Forest. Where did you sell him? Stoke. He went to Forest later.
On that, like, what was it like? Because you're obviously a businessman, a professional, but your part of you must be like, I don't want these to go. Was you ever tempted to sort of somehow balls the deal up, even though it cost you a load of dough? So your team would be better.
It was nothing to do with the dough, was it? It was to do with whether it was right for them at the time. And I think for all three of those players, they were... It was right for them to move on. You know, there's times when, you know, I mean, Lineker still retains an affection to this day. Obviously, still a Leicester supporter, but Leicester were never going to challenge at the top. Gary wanted to play in the World Cup the following year, 1986, and clearly there was going to be a better chance if he went to a bigger club. And of course, he went to Everton. He scored 40 goals that season. And then nine for England that season. So, you know, including becoming top scorer in the World Cup. So that clearly worked well. Schiltz was always ambitious. Leicester were not an ambitious club in those days. You have to remember that. And Emile was never actually a Leicester fan. Although he came from Leicester, he came out of the television era when people supported clubs they liked on television more than if they were taken by their dad to watch a team. And so both Shilton and Lineker were taken by their dads to watch Leicester. Yeah, they were Leicester.
He could have at least got his son down in our academy, though. That annoys me. He's at Man City, isn't he, scoring goals?
I suppose that's... That's where he is. But what Emile did for the club, of course, and one of the best things that I ever felt when we were trying to raise money for the club, I got a call from Emile saying he wanted to invest in the club, and I thought that was a fantastic gesture by Emile. Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. So next question then, and it's a similar theme. Who was the most difficult manager to deal with when negotiating?
Clough, obviously.
Was he?
Yeah, very smart, very very funny at times, very tough at times, intimidating at times.
Did he hit you with a squash racket at one point?
No, he kicked me.
Oh, okay.
What?
Kicked me.
Kick you?
Yeah. Yeah. Came in the room and kicked me. Who are you?
Wow. What was Ferguson like to deal with? Was he equally tough?
Yeah. Pretty tough. Was he? Ferguson was easier when he was less successful. When he became successful, I think he became more arrogant. That this does happen to a lot of them. And Brendan became less reasonable. He was very, very single-minded. I didn't, you know, that's how he was. And
yeah,
you don't expect them to be anything other than single-minded. Nicest manager as a bloke, the manager that I'd most like to go for a drink with. Sadly, he had problems with drink, but he was a great bloke. Howard Kendall, one of the nicest men in football. Great guy. Who else have I dealt with? Jock Wallace, top fella, Jock Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
another one you'd gladly go out for a drink with, and so on. So they're the sort of notable ones. A lot of the time, of course, when you're dealing agent, you're not actually dealing with the manager, you're dealing with the secretaries. Best football administrator I ever came across, Peter Robinson at Liverpool. Brilliant bloke. Alan Bennett at Leicester was a good bloke as well. Yeah.
And so we mentioned Johnny Evans earlier, and I think all of us have got a bit of a growing distaste to the way that Evans' career ended here. And, you know, he didn't do himself much favours at West Brom the year they got relegated. He seems to suddenly be back fit again at beck and call for Man United. Did you ever experience...
Didn't do much this afternoon, did he?
Well, no, he didn't. But did you experience any players... Like you could tell that they weren't injured and they were just they didn't want to play.
Alan Clark, towards the end of his career at Leicester, fell out with a lot of people. I believe Graham Cross, they had a punch up in the dressing room. Clark was quite selfish. He didn't want to be in the players' pool. Not great from that point of view.
Right, final question. This I really want to be intrigued to know the your thoughts on. You've gone a really nice hotel, yeah, and it's self-service, full English. You're going to put your sausages, really nice sausages, bacon, eggs, ash browns, beans, and then you've got to the end and there's a little station and you've got a ladle out and you thought it was scrambled egg, but it's porridge, right? And you've ladled that, larruped it all over your scran. What would you do? Would you eat it or would you be like, oh, my God, what have I done?
I like porridge. But
yeah.
I'm not sure I like it with egg.
What would you do? You wouldn't eat it.
I'd scrap it and say, I've changed my mind. I'm going to have a kipper.
Rick, I'll tell you what we do. I've seen him do that at something like that on many occasions because I have had the pleasure of travelling with my dad, obviously. Yeah, he'd probably cause a massive scene, claim it wasn't his fault and throw it on the floor.
Throw it on the floor?
That sounds about right. I mean, it would be. He'd cause a scene. A minor incident. Is that's not in the spirit of breakfast, though, is it? That sort of behaviour, Rick.
Well, yeah, but why? I've always wondered why they put like things like porridge right next to, because it's automated, isn't it? You're going along, you're in the mix, you're in the zone. Sausages, beans, bacon, everything. porridge. Put it, get it down the other end. One think about.
And on that bombshell.
If you a little tip for you, Rick, if you really go to really what you call in posh places, they don't have buffets.
Hey, mate, look, you
get served by a proper
honestly,
waiter.
I'm editing this out. This is doing nothing for your image, Dad. Right. If you want to go to bed, we can let you go to bed, and me and Rick will have a chat about Leeds. So we can give you the choice.
Well, it's very nice to talk to both of you boys. And
thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
And I'm delighted the club are doing so well. I'm delighted Maresca is doing as well. I confess when he came, I wasn't sure at all. I wasn't sure the style would work or anything like that.
Can I bring you up on something? You sent me a text message about 30 minutes into the Southampton game going, Maresca's going to get sacked in about 3 games' time.
I thought he might, yeah. I confess.
We're 2-0 up.
We were.
No, you weren't. We weren't actually. We conceded that for some reason. We were 2-0 up. Then it went 2-1. Then in the next minute, said they'd equalised. I think I have no idea. That was an error.
You get funny notifications. Yeah,
I do. I was on the train at the time, of course. But there we are.
There we are.
All right. Nice to talk to you, chaps. And
thanks for coming on, John.
Rick, thank you. I hope you don't have any more unfortunate experiences with eggs in Parsons Green, Burgage, Hinckley or Leicester.
Not at the minute, but it is Halloween on Tuesday, isn't it? So you never know. Ram on neck of the woods.
Get pumpkined. Yeah.
I might get scotch egged.
Cheerio, chaps.
See ya.
Cheers, Dad. There we are.
Love it. I could talk to him all night.
You could. He texted me I was on the train because we'd been to the cricket that day, and obviously Sampson scored, and then for some reason he always when he's not watching the game, I don't know what's notifying him, but he's getting all sorts of notifications, and he's like, it's 2-2, and I was like, it's not, because I remember I texted you being like, is it 2-2? Anyway, and then he's going to be sacked by Christmas. We're not going to get promoted. Full doom set in. But there we are. Right. So big game on Friday then. That's probably the biggest of the season, you'd assume.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Ipswich are obviously doing a lot better than Leeds at this stage, and
it's the biggest game so far, isn't it? I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think Leeds are the obvious big club alongside us, I think, have come down. And I know I've been giving a bit of stick this week for being worried about the game. This was prior to Tuesday when we won, and then they went on and lost to Stoke the next night. But I think it's going to be a real test. And certainly on the back of the last couple of performances, if we play like that and Leeds play probably like they did yesterday, I think we're in for a very, very tough game. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's probably more reputation than actually what's happening with Leeds. You think on paper they should be very dangerous. You know, Somerville to me looks a really good player. He's Premier League quality, in my opinion. Yeah, yeah. Dan James, he's flashes and stuff, but he should be good at this level. And then, you know, they've got two other wingers, and then Perot and Rutter up front. And then even Bamford, who's scored goals in the past, although that penalty on Wednesday was
awful,
astonishing.
Awful. I don't really know what to expect, actually, because I watched the Stoke game. I didn't think they were very good against Stoke.
Yeah.
We should go in and want to win because we've won most of our games this season. I think I'd take a point, to be honest. I don't know, but Jordan will probably hammer me for saying that. I think if we can just keep the momentum going,
yeah,
you know, that's the most important thing. But it will be a big game. But then we seem to do a lot better against the sides that play out. My only fear with Leeds is they look a lot more like a counter-attacking side than a lot of the other sides we've played. So I think that'll be interesting. But
I can't call it. I can't call the result, to be honest. I think, you know, I'm not scared and afraid that we won't win, but you don't know, do you? We've got to be on it. But it's the sort of game I want us to play, because we do need to get back to attacking teams with real intent. And yeah, not that we've not necessarily done the last few, but it just slightly, it's been slightly a bit difficult the last week. But yeah, bring it on. And then the week after, the midweek, Middlesbrough away. I mean, I know they lost yesterday, didn't they, to Stoke?
Well, they won five in a row, didn't they, before that?
Yeah.
So that'll be a big one as well.
Well, if we could get through those two unbeaten, I mean, wow.
Yeah. I think, I mean, we've run a ridiculous number of games. I mean, if we get a point on Friday, that's 40 points after 15 games. Which is
a joke.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
There we are. All right. Well, we'll probably leave it there unless you have any other business.
Well, no, nothing, mate. Nothing.
Nothing. I can't.
We've not mentioned Jordan, have we? Obviously, he comes into his own in any of the business. So yeah, he does. Either way,
it's almost his section. He's in Lisbon on a stag do. Shock.
Another one.
Yeah. Lisbon, great city. If anyone's ever been, one of my favourites. So, yeah. All right.
Where would you go for your tea in Lisbon? Where's your favourite place?
I actually sent Jordan this link, actually. It's a place called Bon Jardim. It does very good, and this sounds really cliched, but it is exceptional peri-peri chicken and chips, which
really?
You go all the way to Portugal and have that. But honestly, it's amazing, and it's like a tenner.
Wow, ice.
And I would highly recommend that. So took the message. She loved it. So yeah. Where have you been?
I've not, no. I do want to go. I know you've raved about it, yeah. And it's not, as you say, it's
very
not
hilly. Very hilly.
Hilly, is it?
That's the thing. It is hilly.
Yeah.
But there are cable cars and tram, not cable cars, there's trams and stuff to take you up the hills. Yeah.
I'll stay at the bottom and get pissed.
Yes, you can do that. On Superbok or Sagres or whatever it is. I always get confused about which one's Porto and which one's Lisbon, but there we are. Right. We'll have to go. I'll take you.
Let's do it.
We'll take you for your 41st.
Your 41st, yeah. And I tell you what we haven't done on this pod, which I said I want us to start doing, is do like an away game, like nostalgia trip back in time. I don't know whether we've got time now, but maybe next week we'll start it.
I thought you were going to tell this story, but...
Have I never told it on the pod?
I don't know which one it is. You probably have, but I reckon if anyone's still listening at this point and still with us, I reckon they'll want to hear the story.
All right. So obviously we've just played at Loftus Road this weekend, and one of my favourite away days for some reason, although I'm racking my brains, so I don't know if I've ever seen us win there in about five visits that I've been, but this particular one actually fell on this weekend in 2006, I think, and it would have been like Levine or Rob Kelly. We drew 1-1. Kisnorbo scored early on for us, but yeah, obviously with that last weekend in October, the clocks go back, so you get an extra hour, don't you, which is always dangerous on an all-dayer. But me and my mate got like the half-8 train down from Hinckley to London, so absolutely paralytic early. Found one of my favorite pubs still to this day in London. So then I moved down to London a few years later and were there several years, but I don't even think it's that special. It's called the Mitre in around Paddington Way. Always go there before QPR away. And we're in there, and then went the game. That was fairly unrememberable, really, other than I remember the score. We then headed back to King's Cross, and it was the first time I found the Flying Scotsman. I don't know whether you've ever been in there, have you, Jack?
You mean the Euston Flyer?
No, it was
Where's
this
Flying Scotsman? Horrid. I don't think I've been in the Flying Scotsman. I've definitely been in the Euston Flyer. Let me have a look.
Yeah, now the Euston Flyers are a different place, and that's a bit more reputable. But this was a horrid boozer round the corner from King's Cross. And they had a little back room that we didn't really know anything about.
No, I've just looked this up. I can safely say I've never been in there.
No, well, we're in there minding our own business, having a few beers, waiting for the appropriate train to go home. And out the corner of my eye, I've seen a vagina. I was like, huh? So we were like, what on earth's going on? And obviously, I thought that could have been the most eventful part of the night, but it wasn't. But it was the first of many run-ins with women in pubs. So anyway, we nearly missed the last train home because we were a bit shell-shocked about what had gone on in there. Made the last train home, but then we got back to Leicester and it was like, I don't know, 12:30 in the morning. Maybe not that late, but it was late and there was no way of getting back to Hinckley. So we were wondering what to do and we managed to hoodwink one of our mates to drive over and pick us up. But whilst we were waiting, we went in the Fox and Tiger. Right, you know, the one under by the tube station. I don't know what it's called now. And it was that night. So we were in there, and it was late, and it was full of absolute scrubbers and God knows what. And we were, again, minding our own business, and this woman came up and nutted me mate. Just full-bore head-butted him. And he was like, Jesus, what's going on there? And I'm laughing my head off because this woman had head-butted him. And he was probably like, he was all over the place. Anyway, he'd gone off for a whittle. And the next thing, I've been blindsided by this same aggressive woman, and she's headbutted me in the chest, but it was like this cobbled floor, right? And my knees have gone together, and then my feet have pushed out because it was slippy. And I've just heard a rip, and it was me ACL. So I've done a bloody sea grave, and I've gone down. Anyway, my mate's come back, and I'm just on the floor, and he's had to help me up onto the sofa. And I've kept an eye on this woman because I'm absolutely fuming. I'm just astonished. And I've watched her, and then she collected some glasses and went behind the bar. She were a barmaid, and she'll go around nutting people. It was unbelievable. And that, to be honest, that weren't even the end of the night. I won't go into what happened after that, but other than my mate didn't come to pick us up, he sent a lad who worked for him down in his car and he broke down on the M69, so he couldn't come and get us. He had to get the AA to take him down the M69 to meet his mate with the AA to then get his car to come and pick us up. So he got us about 4 in the morning. He was livid.
Unbelievable. I have heard that story before, but I think you've told it better this time.
You have, don't I? But yeah, I've missed out an important part that at the end of the night. But anyway, did me ACL. So I know how the boys feel.
Did you have an op after it and everything?
No. I mean, I say I did me ACL. The doctor said I'd strain the ligaments. I don't think I'd snapped it, but it was horrible. I still feel it now and it's cold.
Don't say that. You've ruined the story now. But
whatever.
Yeah, there we are. Right. Superb, Rick. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it as ever. There's lots of you listening. We really, really appreciate it. Plug for the quiz night, 2nd of December. It's almost a month to the day that we will be doing that. You can go to the West Brom game in the day and then join us for a quiz and an evening of more stories from Rick and some quality quizzing. All in association with LAMP. So get your tickets for that. Have a good week. We'll see you soon.
Podcast Network.